Hello, everybody. We're watching as Clay corrects his video camera placement. Watch as he stumbles in the back for some tool or other and approaches the camera again. And it looks like a multi-tool of some kind that he's opening. We haven't seen these kind of tools in a long time. It's amazing that he needs one of these tools to adjust a camera of maybe of such high quality that he needs a special tool such as this.
I hear you talking, you burn up, you're talking about me.
We are not talking about him. Of course we're not. If we are talking, we're talking in the most dulcet tones and quiet tones of no one should ever suspect that I am an actual wildlife.
Oh, much better. You can see so much more of my... Damn it.
Okay. Right. Okay, he's not back. And then he puts on the headphones.
Oh, yes. That's, you know, it's a thing.
We just had Lord Attenborough describing all of your actions.
Yes, good. Good thing, Lord Attenborough.
We spent a lot of money on that, and that was totally an... it wasn't an improvised thing. That was totally a script and set up by you.
So. Yes, that was, you know, we totally squandered our budget for the entire fiscal year. Good job.
We did. Well, Clay, how the hell are you?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
I can't complain too much. I'm feeling much better now.
Oh, that's good. So you were sick. You got the frogitis.
I got the frogitis, aka COVID. You know, I know these terms are loosely based.
You cut out. Well, shit. I'll just take over from here, everybody. Clay, this is Clay. I'm Clay. This is Cinematic Suffering. I'm just going to host the show by myself now. Jason, unfortunately, has died of COVID. Oh, hey, Jason.
I'm miraculously recovered, my friend.
Good. I'm glad you came back from the dead. That's good.
Oh, man. Well, it seems like we've both had a couple of mishaps here. I was playing with a new camera that I did buy. It unfortunately wasn't the camera that you decided to buy. I was like, let me go for something a little cheaper. And it came in today, and I was fooling around with it, and it's a piece of shit. So I'm sending it right back.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you can spend $500 on something that's a piece of shit also. Yeah. But so far, I'm pretty happy with the ZV-F1, I think it's called. I already forget what it's called.
I just went straight for the old iPhone here. So it has a better picture than the other camera that I was trying out. So
looks fine.
Thank you. Well, guys, this is Cinematic Suffering, and I'm Jason.
I am Clay. Welcome to the podcast. Y'all, we appreciate you joining.
Clay, you're on the left side now, and I'm on the right.
It's totally throwing off our whole rhythm.
It's disorienting for sure. I accidentally hit the back button on my mouse here.
Uh-huh.
And then everything went quiet and I started panicking.
Well, maybe I can just start randomly clicking buttons in the layout down here. That wouldn't screw things up, would it?
Not at all. So we actually watched Frogman, a found footage film from 2023.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah,
and these are our thoughts and opinions on this odd found footage film.
Yeah, it's I have a question for you. What is your favorite cryptid as a kid or as an adult?
Well, you know, I was obsessed as a kid with the Loch Ness Monster. I was always fascinated by a dinosaur that could possibly be living in some closed off lake in Scotland. And it always seemed eerie to me, and especially how they described the lake and how dark and deep it was and just how prehistoric. And that really that spurred my imagination. So, yeah, that was definitely my favorite cryptid.
Definitely captured the attention and the imagination of children. I remember as a kid that they had cryptid books in the library, which is kind of fun. you could learn about all kinds of stuff, including Bigfoot and Nessie in the old library there.
Yeah, were these books like under the science section or labeled under the fantasy? Or
I remember? Think that it was actually in the science section, which is kind of like, all right. I don't know that that's helpful.
Do you think, like out of all the cryptids that have been listed, Is there a possibility that maybe one of them are actually true?
I'm a very cynical person. I'm going to say no, but okay. You know, that doesn't keep me from having my favorite cryptid. My favorite cryptid is got to be the Chupacabra. I love the Chupacabra. I like the Skinwalkers for the sheer, imagination that went into concocting something. But no, I don't think that they're real. But, you know, I mean, the real world is often stranger than fiction. So you never know. I can be proved wrong.
And I know that some cryptids can be based off some kind of reality. There's the story of this. I wish I had it brought up. There's an Australian four-legged animal that looked weird and crazy. It went extinct, but it was an actual animal, but no one thought it was real until hunters or whatever captured it and actually got photos of it. And turned out that this cryptid that would have been a myth for years was an actual real animal, but it was on the verge of extinction. And
it's a weird looking tiger thing, as I recall, something in the cat family. And it was weird looking. I've seen photos of it, which, these days you gotta suspect everything, but this was before the days of AI. But yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I ask myself that same question, if I think there's a basis of truth, I think, like you, I'm a little cynical. I'm very skeptical about things. But that's not to say I'm not going to keep my mind open to the possibility that if something is found, then by God, I was proven wrong. And that's great. You know, there's a Sasquatch and they just hang him up by his dead, mutilated body.
Look for the zipper.
He's vivisected in half, you know, and
like, oh, his gullet's full of hands and feet. That's crazy. Yeah.
But I don't know if anyone's who hasn't seen Frogman, what we're talking about is that Frogman is actually based on an actual cryptid.
Yeah, that's like they actually show, I believe, the little, store that they show in there is probably an actual store that they sell Frogman merch at.
Yeah, I thought all that stuff was set up in the film of, you know, Frogman is here, go out and see the Frogman and Frogman merch. And there's all these drawings of Frogman at the very beginning. And I thought it was just kind of an elaborate thing that the production did to, you know, make it seem real and everything. But after the movie, you know, I think that I'm assuming you did your research, but I did my research. And I got this from a guy screaming to me on a camera from a truck in Ohio, not the usual Florida one that I get info from. And there is actually a Loveland Frogman. And now my mistake during the watch through is that I thought they were in Loveland, Texas, which was, you know, a mistake. And it's Loveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
And I think we might have even made a comment about Ohio through the watch through.
I think we did. It just like I could, they must have mentioned it in passing. And that's always my jumping off point to start making digs at my home state. there's something about the Midwest that it just fosters, these cryptid myths. I think that people are bored and there's not much else going on. So they invent creatures that bump around in the night. Frogman has to be the byproduct of hallucinogenics.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of other cryptids like the Mothman and the Chupacabra and the Jersey Devil. And of course, you know, we have to mention Sasquatch, Bigfoot and Yeti, you know, all these stuff that are just completely insane. But the fact that but all these seem like monsters or entities that are of their own, you know, species, or they differentiate themselves from looking like an animal or a human being. If there's some similarities, it's odd, but this is totally just, they call him the Frogman, but it's just a dude walking around on two legs. It looks like a frog, right?
And he's got a scepter for some reason. He's got a magical scepter, kind of pulls me out of it. Like you've got me up to a certain point and that's when you lose me. As soon as he's magic, then you've lost the the cynical skeptical part of your audience.
Right. Yeah. Because he's like, oh, if this is like barely seen or people have gotten like these weird pictures, but you know the fact that they added a wand to it, totally unbelievable. I'm not falling for this.
Pulled me right out of this movie. But well, let's talk a little bit about this movie. This is the brainchild of director and writer Anthony Cousins. and it was co-written by John Carsco, and the film stars Nathan Timoshuk. Thank you. Nathan Timoshuk, Benny Barrett, and Ali Daniels, who I found out through my scant research that those are friends of Anthony Cousins, who he's worked with on other projects, but this is the first time all three of them have worked together.
Right. Yeah, and the movie starts off with them being in 1999, and you see this lo-fi camera footage of a family and two kids, and one of them is the character that Nathan is playing, and who is
Dallas.
I was about to say
you're close.
One of those cities. So Dallas. Dallas is one of these kids, and he sees something in the woods, and it closes up on this funny frog face. And I think we're both laughing at that point. But the thing about this is, from a technical aspect, I had to rent this movie on YouTube. I couldn't find it on Prime. I couldn't really find it anywhere else. So I just rented it off of Prime, and there's like the HD version, which is $4.99, and then there's the SD version, which was $3.99. You know, I'm going for the HD version, right? And then the whole goddamn thing's filmed lo-fi, not even eight millimeter. Yeah, I guess around that camera frame rate.
It was filmed on high eight.
On high eight, yes. Yeah. And so I felt like I wasted a whole buck on that. not the entire thing, because I think in the end I had an okay time with the movie, but I was kind of kicking myself for losing that dollar. Anyways.
I've done the same thing renting Riff Tracks. They have the same scam. No offense, guys, but I don't want to go off on some big tangent, but damn it, like you would rent the HD version, or you'd just buy. You had to buy the movies back then. You'd buy this Riff Tracks for $12 instead of $10, and then you'd watch the thing, and you'd be like, "This looks like shit because it was filmed in the '80s, so it's only going to look so good. It's totally wasted money." And then a month later, all those same Riff Tracks are available on Amazon Prime. So,
But
what can you do? I was supporting creators that I like. You
know? Sure. And so that was just my little bitch at the beginning there. We did have more technical complications when we were first trying to watch it. But it transitions out of that. So I guess Dallas is now obsessed with this frogman. It's affected his life so much that he doesn't have a job. He's
Internet bullies have just kind of ran him down and made fun of him and called him, like anybody would be that obsessed with this little kid that thought he saw a frog man and then messed with him his entire adult life. And it turned frog man into Moby Dick and turned him into this, kind of cynical Ahab. Yeah. Yeah.
Or no, Captain Ahab. I can't remember which one. But yeah,
literary scholar.
Oh, I know. Look at us. So it turns into some kind of obsession for him. I did learn that that Anthony Cousins, that most of this film was improv'd. There's few scripted
you don't moments. Say.
There's a few scripted moments, and I was watching a review with him. An interview with him, and he was mentioning that, and so I thought that was that's definitely, you can definitely tell that in the movie that they're totally improvising a lot of this stuff.
Kind of reminds me of the old ones or the deep ones in that way, that both films felt very kind of just say a bunch of stuff and it'll work out, but okay, I don't know that it does.
Yeah, and the similarities between the deep ones and Frogman, they're there.
Yeah, like the deep ones, you can tell that they just wanted it to look like a movie a little bit more. See, that's the thing about found footage. It's like, I was thinking about this today. It's almost like the noise core of films. It's like, you could say it's a bold deconstruction of the art form, but it's, or is it just an excuse to be lazy and have bad lighting and bad sound design and bad cinematography and just do all the stuff that they tell you in Film 101 don't do, like fire hose the camera everywhere?
Yeah, and there's other found footage films that I've seen that have been, of course, guilty. That you go right back to Blair Witch, which was, I wouldn't say it's the first one, but it was the one that really popped out, you know, was the popular one.
Yeah, that's the one. There were movies that, you know, like you say, that use that same formula first. And that's the thing. It's easy for people to crap on found footage movies, but there's also a reason why there's so many of them out there. People do watch them, and when they're effective, they're really good. It's you know, I liked Frog Man for what it is. You know, right. We'll talk about Frog Lord a little bit later. but it, you know, like, it's standing in stark contrast with other films like the VHS films, or, you know, films like Exists, that I really like. That was a Sasquatch found footage.
Oh, okay. Movie. Yeah. I've heard of that one. I haven't seen it though.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. And there, you know, the director, Anthony Cousins, he did mention that he was like hugely inspired by Blair Witch, of course. But there's another couple of movies like Willow Creek in 2013 and another one called Digging Up the Marrow in 2014 that he had some pretty big inspiration. Now, I have never heard of those films.
I've seen the first one you mentioned, but it's been so long that I've kind of forgotten it. The other one I've never heard. I love the title though. That's a metal title.
Yeah, I'm very interested in watching those movies for sure. I did see. I remember recommending to you, hey, maybe we should watch The Outwaters. And but then I decided just on a whim, just watch it by myself, and it got a lot of critical praise, and I'm somehow wondering how that happened, because you cannot literally see, there's nothing to be seen in the last half of that movie until the very end when the sun comes up. That's when you see something kind of graphic happen, but the entire time for about 40 minutes it's just screaming, running, lights flaring everywhere. You don't see anything, and I was hugely disappointed and pissed at that. It's one of those things I just had to fast forward a lot through at the very end because I just couldn't see anything.
And that seems to be the downfall of a lot of these found footage movies, is that they follow such a predictable pattern. And Frogman, unfortunately, kind of fell into that. It was a lot of setup, a lot of these characters being zany and like you mentioned, ad-libbing a bunch of their lines and, you know, oh, let's be funny. That, like, it's let's have a bunch of fun. It's the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
And then it followed every beat exactly of a found footage film. Like you got your payoff at the end, and they did pay it off pretty
good.
I'll hand it to them. The Frogman effects were pretty damn good for the context of the movie that we were in. And side note, this, I think it's pretty funny. They did very little digital effects. It was mostly practical effects, and what they did do is that they went in afterwards and added his eyes blinking, and I got to thinking about it, and I was like, what does that remind me of? And I was like, yeah, it's Baby Yoda. It's the same way that they did Grogu in the Star Wars show. It's just his puppet, and then they did the post-production of him blinking his eyes.
I had no idea. I learned something new here every day. I didn't know that. That's cool.
And his throat was, you probably couldn't even tell, but they went in post-production and made his waddle billow.
Oh, Grogu's?
Oh, well, no, the Frogman.
The Frogman, okay. Yeah. I just remember Grogu's big bloated belly and his long slippery tongue coming. But yeah, I thought the characters were, I mean, for all their ad-libbing, some of it was just really cheesy, but I did kind of connect with Dallas because the girl, I can't remember her.
Amy.
Amy, she was going off and doing this hick, like, big, deep Southern accent, and howdy, so y'all, crazy. We're here in Lovelorn, and we're doing this, blah, blah, blah. But to see Dallas visibly, he's like, stop that shit, you know, pretty much. And I was like, yes, tell her. Don't put
ladies, just because you're hot doesn't mean that you can act any kind of way. She was wearing one of those cheesy cowboy hats that drunken girls at wear at Halloween or at parties or at the bar. Like, you can't wear that out into the world. You leave that at.
Yeah,
leave that at the party.
And all of that was kind of like a spur of the moment thing where they're like, oh, I should be a reporter, and then they just took it up a notch. So seeing Dallas's reaction, or I should Nathan, the actor's Nathan, it struck genuine with his annoyance at it, and I'm not sure if that was an actual, you know, improv or if he was really annoyed because he kept doing it. Maybe it's like, Amy,
like I can't, you know, it's really hard for me to get into this role where I'm supposed to like you when I viscerally not like you so right. much right now.
Like, Allie, can we cut here for a second? Stop that shit. We have to stop it.
That's I got a safe word.
But I remember was talking at the beginning of the watch through, and I don't know how much of, again, we're going to jump into maybe some spoiler territory here. So at this point on, you might want to, you know, go watch the film, or if you've ever seen it, you know, just stick with us, but
hit the like button, then go watch it, and then come back.
Yeah.
And watch the rest of this.
So, you know, we said at the beginning of the watch through, like you were like, if I don't see someone get head first ingested by this, frogman, then this moves is a piece of shit, or it lacks any integrity at all. And I was like, if I don't see a frogman's tongue wrapped around someone and trying to pull it in his mouth, then this, I was like the same thing. This movie has no integrity at all. But hey, that paid off. That paid off. It's exactly what happened. And
it really did. You know, I mean, like you have to, I feel like you have to kind of get through a bit of a slog of a movie. It's and I know it, like it's supposed to be found footage, which, you know, it's like I just mentioned is an excuse for it to look bad, but geez, it looked bad. There were some moments where there's so little ambient light that you can barely even that the camera can barely even capture anything because there's no light coming in. The sound sounded like they were using this ancient camera's onboard mic to capture it. It was just God, it looked shitty.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the crew was like, if it was just maybe Anthony there doing everything behind the scenes and and everyone else just kind of playing a part. I wish I got more insight into that from the interview that I read from Watch, but I didn't hear anything about what kind of crew they had. Or maybe I just wasn't paying attention that much. But yeah, it paid off for sure at the end. I thought it did definitely pull in some moments from The Deep Ones or The Shadow Over Innsmouth, you know, or Dagon, where, you know, I keep saying, you know, but you know, if you know,
I know. If you know, you know. You had the cultists and that kind of thing. That was fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, you kind of saw where that was heading anyways. And it was predictable in that aspect. I felt there was some padding there, of course. You know, the montage dance scene in the hotel room and just the interaction between Amy and Dallas, as I guess they used to be a thing, or maybe they weren't a thing. Maybe they just hooked up one time. And
that's the gist that I got, is that they hooked up once and then it's like, no, let's just be friends. It's like, no, that's not.
But overall, it didn't really connect me to those characters that much, because it just felt like it was like an offside. Hey, we should throw this in just for a little more character development. But I did have some guests though show up. Just now, Clay. So,
oh, did you?
Yeah. Do you mind if I let them in? And
sure.
Okay.
Cut.
Did you hear anything?
Uh-uh.
Oh. Let me just make sure I get them on screen here, or at least so they can talk. Okay. Okay, guys, come on in.
The memories.
Oh, wow.
Why?
Oh.
Oh.
I'm going to get me some frog push.
Oh, God. Okay. I was so glad that those guys could come by and
That's great.
Remind us of how awesome Budweiser is.
Because that's what frogs do, is that they're hopeless alcoholics and they drink the worst beer that you can swill.
I think that should have been like at the very end there, where you just see Frogman just popping open a Budweiser, chugging it, sharing it with his frog buddies and the cultists.
Yeah, they did kind of miss an opportunity to have Frogman be a lascivious humper of things, you know, like the Feast movies went down that road.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think everything's been done. Everything has been done. Like, you just have to kind of do something familiar in kind of a new way, but we've seen it all.
It's
kind of sad.
I guess like the only little things were, you know, that when he filmed this, what's his name? Anthony Cousins filmed it, that, you know, the 1999 scenes that he specifically filmed in a car that was made around 1999 or before that.
Yeah.
He said he just had a hard time kind of filming around that because, you know, it's more or less a guerrilla kind of way of filmmaking. So every time a car would pass, he keep trying to keep the cars out of the frame because there'd be like newer, you know, a Tesla roll by or something. So he had a hard time kind of keeping that in that time frame and everything. So I thought it was interesting to hear some of those filmmaking aspects.
It is, and it's a neat quality that happens anytime we kind of go back and do researches. I'm often kind of find myself like a little bit more hesitant to just kind of go all in on the film and just rake it over the coals, because you hear these earnest interviews with the filmmakers and you realize, like, for one thing, most of us kind of realize is that these independent filmmakers that make these kind of movies aren't making a lot of money. If anything, they're losing money a lot of times. A lot of times they get screwed over by the people distributing them. It's genuinely a labor of love, and they really do love the project. And you hear these interviews and it's like, oh man, I feel bad talking all this trash about this movie that you obviously put a lot of love and care into, even if the final product is a bit of a slog to get through it.
Yeah, and I know this was his first feature film. He said he did do several shorts and stuff like that, but he thought it's finally time to make something. So, you know, kudos to Anthony Cousins for making Frogman. I'd been wanting to see this for quite a while. I had seen it pop up in my queue. I'd see, you know, down people's like, hey, has anyone seen Frogman? It's kind of cool, you know, and it has had a little buzz about it. And I was like,
yeah,
I really want to watch this, but if it turns out to be really bad, I want to make sure it's on that we,
you
watch it too.
Yeah, like what's funny is that I came to know about Frogman through the band Frog Lord. I'm a fan of Frog Lord, which is a one-man doom metal band based out of the UK, and it's kind of meant to be that these two creative forces would meet because they have a very similar aesthetic. It's all like Frog Lord. All of his stuff is very homemade, self, you know, kind of DIY aesthetic. And like, it was meant to be that he would do the soundtrack for the movie.
Yeah. It gelled very well with what was happening. So I think my overall opinion was that I did enjoy Frogman. Was it the best movie I've ever seen? No, but has it been one of the better found footage movies I've seen in a while? Yeah, probably it has.
Yeah, I think that you have to go into it knowing what you're going to get. It's very much a kind of DIY popcorn movie. You know, like, put it on with your friends and just kind of like, maybe even get into some side conversations while stuff's going on, and then focus when the Frogman action happens towards the end of the film.
We through our watch through, and if you want to watch our watch through, it is going to be up on YouTube very soon. All you have to do is just time code, watch the movie, and link up our time codes. You're going to see that we're going to be throwing facts at you left and right about frogs. Yeah, concerning frogs. You're going to learn so much from our watch through. So I highly recommend you watch it through that means.
That's right. If you don't have any friends of your own, we'll be your stand-in friends that like to make fun of movies with you. And I was rewatching our commentary today in preparation for our review. And I was laughing out loud at a couple parts, you know,
yeah.
It's like not patting ourselves on the back here, but some of our zingers were pretty funny.
Yeah. I'm going to have a nice fun time going through the footage and putting up a highlight reel too for that one.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Did you know, speaking of frog facts, that a group of frogs is called an army?
I did not know that.
Yeah, and it's ironic because frogs are notorious draft dodgers. So.
You're going to hear comedy gold like that off the cuff. That was totally not written. That's pure improv. See, Anthony Cousins could learn from improvers like us.
Yeah, that just that never write anything beforehand.
Yeah, ever. Exactly. Well, Clay, what was your final verdict to Frogman?
Oh, it was flawed but fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was flawed but fun. That the ending, the first half will drag a little bit for people, but I think the last half, you know, really kind of sells it. The practical effects, yeah, there was a little kind of digital fixing in post, but it's not obvious. You don't know it's there. Everything else was totally in camera effects, I believe.
Yeah, it was like they did a frog. He said that they actually did more visual effects, but when they looked at it, it just wasn't working. So they went back and made a suit. So.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I mean, they pulled it off really well. And,
yeah, they did. They did. Thought, it was one of those things that it really worked. So.
And they didn't like you see the reveal just long enough to know, oh shit, and then the camera, of course, goes crazy and all hell breaks loose. But yeah, for me, I enjoyed it. Will I watch it again? Probably not. But you know,
yeah, watching it once and then watching it again in like preparation for this review is probably as many times as I'm going to watch it. What's funny is that there's like kind of a twist at the end that I won't spoil it here, but it's funny because the whole tone of the film shifts, and it's almost like a way that Anthony Cousins is showing us, like, I know how to actually film a film. See how it looks nice and everything. Like, it's like he needed that as part of his reel or something.
I will definitely keep an eye out for anything he does in the future, though. I'd be curious where this young filmmaker goes with his future projects.
That would be exciting, and I wish that for a lot of the filmmakers that we review on here. I think a lot of them are headed for big things. I always kind of reference Fede Alvarez, and you know, his early films kind of look a lot different than the Evil Dead remake or Don't Breathe.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's about it. Guys, if you made it this far, I hope you hit that like button. I hope you subscribe. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, that like button. If you're listening to any other way, make sure you leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to on your favorite podcast platform.
Shoot us a comment.
Do we have to plug anything? I don't think I have anything to plug, so...
Oh, I've got a art channel that I'm slowly but surely working on called Claytanic's Art Layer. If you like art follow alongs and watching me draw weird stuff, check that out.
I did mention that you were drawing many caricatures of Warren J. Harding. I think our 29th president, because I remember you're obsessed about that. So I just put that in a little comment on our page.
I'm going to jump to Calvin Coolidge soon. Who's our 30th president?
Damn. Oh, my nipples just got hard. Oh, they're milking now. They're
sweating. Oh, I'm going to twist the straw.
Okay, guys. Until next time, may you all suffer.
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 All right. Bye.
See you.